Confidential podcast brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, we discuss All My Children and One Life to Live's first week, Jill won't let Kane take over at Chancellor without a fight on Y&R, Kristen and John's schemes face off on Days of Our Lives, Brooke is now Bill's broodmare on Bold and the Beautiful, and are AJ and Carly the next Alan and Monica on General Hospital? All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Jamie Giddens, welcome.
Hey.
Jillian Bowe, welcome.
Hello.
And Melody Akles, welcome.
Hey.
Well, let's kick things off. In the last podcast, the supersized podcast that covered everything from All My Children, One Life to Live's premieres to the Emmy nominations, discussed a lot about the first episode, but now that we've had a week to absorb the first week of All My Children, One Life to Live on the web, what are your thoughts, Mel?
It's so great to have both shows back, so I'm just going to put that out there. I really love what One Life to Live is doing with the Tale of Two Todds and everything, and we got some hot Victor Taya action, so I was all about that. All My Children on the flip side, I thought I had some really great moments. I really liked when Bianca went to Marissa's grave. I thought that really stood out to me, but All My Children is kind of focusing on that young teen set a little too much for my liking. So let's move it along here, people. But all in all, I feel like it was a great week for both soaps. So,
okay, Jamie.
Definitely glad to have both of them back. It was fun to get up every morning at 5 and watch them. You know, very easy to watch these shows for me. And Lord knows how tech challenged I am. And, you know, I've had had no issue with my little Hulu Plus. I've watched them on my laptop. I've watched them on my Kindle. I haven't watched it yet on my TV, but I will this week. But, yeah.
Call us for help.
I ain't going to have to call nobody, but Best Buy Geek Squad.
Luke done blew you up.
Luke don't want me to tell anybody what I have to help him with, though. Let me clarify that because I don't want anybody thinking the wrong thing.
That just sounds so wrong.
No, I am meaning copy editing people. Let me clarify because that could be read in too many different ways. But anyway, back to All My Children and One Life to Live. I started out loving One Life to Live more. Because I felt like it got right into where the show where the show left off on ABC. But by the end of the week, I was loving All My Children a little bit more. Mostly because I feel like they plowed through some of the Victor reveal beats. I felt like, you know,
On One Life to Live,
you know, that kind of, you know, everyone having a non-reaction except for Taya. I was like, thank God for little Danny. Because she screamed bloody murder when he came in there. But
she's grown up to be her mother's daughter,
yeah,
isn't she?
You know, but Vicky was like, when they did finally have Vicky have a scene with Victor, was all, you know, Victor, oh, I heard Allison Perkins had you. And then before he could even respond, I hate to get a recap on your return from the dead and run, but I have a meeting. It's like, dang, Vicky, you ain't paying attention to the battle news in 10 years. And now your brother returns from the dead. And I'm like, I guess Vicky is like, after 40 some odd years, I done dealt with so many returns from the dead. This is just another one. But I feel like they're kind of plowing through those beats a bit. And I need for Victor to ask about his biological child. He's so worried about his nieces and nephews, Todd's kid. He ain't even asked to see Sam yet. He fucking tail on the floor. And he ain't even thought about Sam. But, you know, still enjoying it. Definitely love Corbin Blue. And love how he is making the banner young and, you know, having those kind of conversations that we in the blogging world have all the time about, you know, how to make it hot in the online world and, you know, the ridiculousness of saving some hot dirt for print. I was like, woohoo! Love that dialogue.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, can somebody spread that to every publicist in soaps? But other than that, for All My Children, like I said, you know, wasn't really as engaged at the beginning, but by the end of the week, I was loving it because you could just see the seeds being planted with Jesse once again lying to Angela about one of her kids. Shout out to the Pine Valley Podcast because I love how Ashley used to say, Angela!
Yeah.
And I believe they have a new episode this
Yes,
week,
I
so.
thought
All
about that. I
right.
was like, finally I could have my Pine Valley Podcast back. Forget the show's coming back now. But yeah, I'm really
Jordan
into.
and Ashley are must listens if you've not listened to them.
Yeah, I am definitely feeling, Angie's little girl getting snatched up and, being caught up in this slavery, sex slavery trade, and, what that's going to do to Jesse and Angie's relationship. I'm really glad that she's the only one cutting for David Hayward because, I said
Yes.
on Twitter, I would love, love, love for David to get a little sexual chocolate on the side.
Their chemistry is pretty good.
It is. It,
I still want him with Kara. They are so.
Well,
Kara?
just like I. Kara, yes, it's
Mm-hmm.
Kara. Just like I told somebody on Twitter when somebody said that, I was like, I'm not this person that just believes a couple should be together. And I mean, that's not soap opera. David
Well,
and
I'm not
Kara.
saying that, but they've been apart for 5 years.
Well, and I'm sure they're going to play that beat, but they can play, but you can. On a soap opera, it is really possible for someone to have romantic entanglements with more than one person. It's shocking, I know, but it happens. Save your squish names. Just let them tell a story. I'm loving that. The teen story got off to a slow start for me, but then by the time that little Hunter tried to get Bianca into a drug-addled three-way, I was laughing about some of that. He was like, "Well, I thought you'd be a freak like your mom." I'm like, that is something a nasty little high school boy would say. She's got a hot lesbian mother, so his little, they think with their little penises at that age. So
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of cool. But the main two stories that are hooking me are David and Kara and Jesse and Angie. Surprise, surprise, the veterans.
Jillian?
I am enjoying them both. I do have a little gripe about All My Children, though. I've noticed that that they are ingraining, they're just stamping in our minds that technology is the way to go. Technology, technology. Everybody and your mama got an iPad, little Petey. Sorry, Pete or Peter.
It's Petey.
I'm just mocking how he likes to be called little
Rob
damn.
said, "It's Pete." He told me to my face on the red carpet, and I said, "Baby, I'll call you. I'll call Jesus if you ask
Okay, anyway. So, I like how they keep mentioning that he, made his money with technology and apps and stuff. You keep impounding this in us, but the dialogue needs to be, and some of the scenarios need to be, well, like with the teen stories, they need to be tech savvy too. This whole Bianca, not Bianca child, because she's
Miranda.
Miranda. Oh my God, he looked at me. It should be a situation like, girl, he followed me on Twitter. He did a follow Friday with me on Twitter, or he liked my picture on Facebook. Something more a little upbeat. You know
Oh,
what I mean?
Miranda and AJ's dialogue regarding her crush on Hunter is just
Yeah, it's a
painful.
little hokey.
It's like anvils dropping from the sky repeatedly, one after
It's a
another.
little hokey, and that girl Celia, when she's like, "I'm doing a gap year. I want to wear a uniform to fit in." I'm like,
That was silly.
teenagers from back in the day, from when there were horse and buggies to now, didn't want to be in a uniform. And if you have the opportunity not to be in a uniform, you would take it. That's just my little gripe. I am loving the Angie and David thing. Like, Angie was like, "Y'all know that this is all JR's fault, but David had to do what he had to do." I'm like, touch and tell it, Angie. Tell it like it is, as Jamie and Steve Harvey would say. I'm like, I'm
Look,
like,
neither one of us can claim that every black person in the
well,
South hollered
I'm
that.
just saying,
That's true.
Jesus. When David, when you flash back, David did what we all would have done. Let's just be real here. I'm loving that. I'm loving, what Kara is hiding from him and everything. I'm loving the Vets thing, Opal being mischievous, trying to play matchmaker. I just want the dialogue to be a little bit fresher over at One Life to Live. everything is on and popping over there. It's just like they hit the ground running. The Victor thing is annoying. I mean, it's almost as if Vicky is cutting for Todd more than she is Victor. I mean, you know both of them. You love both of them equally, I would hope. You know, he's like, she's like, Victor. Oh, yeah, girl, I got to go. I got to break this story. And Vicky being so hard on Dorian is very, very odd. Unless Dorian did something when she was as senator to make Vicky this pissed off, I can understand, and we'll see that later. But even when that boy was like, oh, let's run her comment, and Vicky's like, it's off the record, and she still let him run it, I thought, Vicky, this is not you. You're all about ethics and integrity. I really thought that was out of character for her. I'm thinking maybe Dorian did something. I don't know. Maybe Dorian, a senator, was like, you know, no more printing on paper, Vicky. So the banner circulation about to die. I'm banning that in Pennsylvania. And Vicky's like, this bitch. And that's why she mad at her or something like that. I just don't understand where this venom is coming from. Unless we see why this is happening. If it was the reverse, if it was Dorian going after Vicky, I would understand it. But Vicky is just going guns blazing after Dorian.
The sense I got is that Vicky's a little bit desperate to save the banner.
Yeah,
that's
Vicky, yeah, I understand that, but Vicky would not, anybody who's watched this show as long as I have, and I mean even as long as you have, you would not see Vicky doing this to Dorian.
But the thing about the quote, Vicky was a representative of the press when she showed up. She did not announce herself like, I'm coming to have some La Purple tea at La Purple Lobule. She came and was like, I want to give you the opportunity to
and then
Dorian made the, as a,
shut her down.
As a reporter, I'm going to tell you what God loves in the name of Jesus and the free press, because I have some peers who these stars say horrible things to on the record, and they edit it out because they're trying to protect the star. That ain't how Jamie Shamar to the gig roll. If you say it on the record with me, it's on the record. You said it, God love it. I'm printing it.
You know I'm not that way, but Dorian said, but she said to Dorian, though, this is that would be one thing if she said it on the record. She said to Dorian, oh, can I quote you? She's like, no, you cannot.
But so, she already knew that the woman was, she showed up and told her, I'm here to get you to give your, you know, she didn't, she.
But by asking permission, she took that right out of her own hands.
No, she didn't. She said it. The only way Dorian would win a libel suit is if she could prove she didn't say it.
Well, my thoughts on the first week is I love the half hour episodes. So much happens in them. If you compare those to what happens in B&B, wow, the difference is night and day. I love the pacing of One Life to Live and All My Children. We'll see if they're able to sustain it, but at least in the first week, I'm loving it. As Jillian said, the dialogue with the young adults on All My Children is just terrible. It really needs a lot of work. One Life to Live, I'm enjoying pretty much everything that's going on. I'm not sure what I think about Rama and Bimal. Bimal, say. And I'm not sure what I think about this cutter and the drug thing, but overall, One Life to Live is doing pretty good. All My Children, oh, of course, I'd love to see more Adam. And the thing about All My Children.
He's there! He told me to tell you he's there. He make it to Connecticut every day to tape. Be happy.
I think that the one thing I will say about All My Children is that I really feel that the actress who plays Celia is the weakest of the main on both shows. And I'm going to need to see something more from her. But she's got time. She's new. We'll just see how she evolves.
I want Kobe to come back because, you know, that would be a classic story, because Kobe blew Petey off when he was a little dorker burger, but now he's Pete, and Pete is fine and got money. So
it doesn't make sense to me. To me, Colby, of all that set, would be like the perfect one to be back, and I'm not sure why they didn't bring her.
Not the only one that's missing, in my opinion. Colby should be back, and they also should have where are Dixie's little girl that she fought heaven and hell to get back to. That little girl should be there and be a rival for Bianca.
Crystal too. Crystal.
Now, they could take that alone from.
No.
Stop with her mama.
Well, I was going to say,
she
technically,
come back in season two mad as hell because she'd be like, Ted, you forgot about me. But Dixie's child should be there with her. I mean, she, all that going to Switzerland and stuff and coming back from the dead for that little girl. Where's she at? Where's, ain't nobody even mentioned her. Where's she at?
Well, speaking of children, Brooke got herself mounted by a stallion and now she's a broodmare, Jamie.
I love it. I think
it's terrible.
I love it. I love it. I know I've contradicted myself a million ways from Sunday because I always say anytime you get a 50-year-old woman pregnant on soaps, that's the end of your soap. But Brooke Logan is not Rachel Corrie. Brooke Logan is not Reva Shane. Still every bit the sex bomb she was in 1987, and I am loving this. It's so scandalous. It's so nasty. It's so Brooke. It's just so awesome. I mean, she's done it again. The slut from the valley has done it again. She is in yet another scandalous pregnancy. It's like none of her kids have come into this world under some nice, wholesome umbrella. Each, there's been scandal with each one. Rick, Bridget, Lord Hope. You know, Hope was the product of her affair with Bridget's husband. You know, RJ could have been Nick Maroney's.
He said Jack Maroney. That's
funny. Then, well, she has that little boy with Nick Maroney. I believe his name is Jack. You know, the one that was switched at birth with.
Yeah. It is Jack.
They don't even mention him. And, nope. You know, she's just scandalous. I just love Brooke. And Brooke and Bill have saved the adult set of this show for me. And I love Heather Tom in this. I mean, I think it'll be an amazing triangle because they played out Brooke versus Taylor. I mean, it's great, but there's no, with Ridge gone, you know, Brooke needs somebody she can fight for a man with. And Hunter, I mean, you know, and, what's her name? Heather Tom is, you know, the strongest, you know, actress on the show. So putting her and Catherine Kelly in scenes, it's going to be great. This could go for years. It's like,
this gives Catherine someone to really spar with. I'm sorry, Hunter, but let's just.
Well, Hunter's been tight here.
Hunter has been on fire.
She's been on fire, but Heather Tom, y'all know when she get fired up, it's like, oh Lord, she's about to bust.
It's gonna be a rough fight, but you know, there's so many emotions there and all those layers and. You know, but I do need, because sometimes Brad can be very tunnel visioned in his writing and forget beats of his own show. I do need, when this all comes out and said and done, for somebody to remind little Miss Katie that she had no respect for Bridget's marriage to Nick Maroney, because all of the Logans are hoes. I mean, it's like, why, you know, Donna came back to town trying to get Ridge into bed. She know that's Brooke's man. You know, then she went to Thorne. She know that's Brooke's man. Then she she know that's Brooke's man. So, you know, look at her.
Brooke can't have them all.
Yes, she can.
Yes, she can.
She's Brooke. Yes, she can.
Tell her,
Jillian, what are your thoughts on the pregnancy? Because for me personally, I think it's sort of like the well of creativity at B&B has dried up. What are your thoughts?
I just don't like it because I do remember, I mean, I guess times to change, you know, you could change your mind. I do remember Catherine to the Kelly Lang said in an interview years ago, she told Brad, I don't want any more babies. She's like, I'm tired of Brooke getting pregnant. And Brad was like, okay, I guess Brad said, chick change, you know, things change. It's a different day. It's a different day. Same dollar.
Brad said, you decide what Catherine Kelly Lang does with her uterus. I decide what Brooke Logan Forrester does with us.
I guess so.
Or he's like, I got you an Emmy nomination. And what?
Yeah, you know, so this is going to be really interesting because for Katie to be like, how dare you? And Brooke could be like, bitch, you slept with my daughter's man. And what?
Then that girl can be like, mama, you slept with my husband.
Right. Is it, you know, Al, what's the face?
Bridget.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe she could be like.
I do kind of wish it was Jennifer Finnegan. I know I like Ashley, but I do kind of wish it was Jennifer Finnegan. This would be so.
And I'm busy, brother.
What is she busy doing? All her shows don't.
She's got a pilot, doesn't she?
Keep a pilot. She got more pilots than Delta Airlines. She don't know none of her shows. show more than one season. Jennifer, bring your ass on back to the Bone of the Beautiful. I know you get tired of getting the show.
I think she had one on CBS that lasted two
seasons.
She get
a pilot. She got more pilots than, like I just said, like the Denzel in Flight. She done killed more pilots.
Now,
starring on Monday mornings, but I think that show is...
Oh, didn't that get canceled?
No, it's on the Bubble.
I love Jennifer Finnegan, but she's one of those ones that left date. She was a star in daytime, and she's a great actress, but her stuff just... Her boats just don't float long. She needs to come on back and, you know, be a star on Bold and the Beautiful again.
She's like, get out of here, Jamie.
I have to ask you, because since I know that you're sneaking B&B here periodically, did you watch this last week?
Yeah, I saw a couple of episodes.
What did you think of Brooke's revelation and the men's fashion show?
I can't help myself. I have fallen in love with Brooke Logan. I was always hearing all this about Taylor and Brooke and whose team are you, so on and so forth. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. So now that I've been watching Bold and Beautiful pretty much every week now, I love Brooke. I am Team Brooke all the way. I can't help myself. So at first when she had menopause and she was all freaking out, I was like, girl, stop. Okay?
I didn't like that at all. I'm like, if y'all can let Alexis forget her menopause, I'm like, y'all want to put that on who? And we know Alexis older than Brooke. I didn't like that at all.
That was silly. I was like,
going to be so depressed. I was really not going to be happy about that. She's
freaking out like the doctor told her she had breast cancer. Come on, girl, moving along. And then it came out she was pregnant, and I was like, ooh, Brooke. So now I'm all up in the story. I want to know what's going to happen. Like, you know, since Katie and Bill decided they all of a sudden wanted to be back together now, whatever. Who cares? Caused some amazing, amazing drama.
And she gave him to her. Woman gave her husband to her sister. Well, don't be an Indian giver. She is going to keep him.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, this is going to be great drama if they play it like how I want them to play it. I just want Katie to just erupt and just go ham.
Because that's what they're going to do.
I want her to go ham. Well, we know she's going to do that. But I want her... I don't like this weak Katie. I want Heather...
Amen.
I want Katie to be like, you know what, Bill? If you want Brooke and her magic snatched so damn bad, so be it. And for Brooke to be... And for him to be like, really? And she'd be like, yeah, I'm going to sign the divorce papers. Get Justin in here. Let Justin make them papers up. And for her to be like, but there's only one condition. What? I want... everything. I want half of everything. I want Katie to be this powerful force for Bill to just look and be like, what the hell, you know? For Bill to do a double take and for Bill to be the one, like, to Bill, not for Bill to be like a ridge per se, but for Bill to just start to wonder if he's making the right choice. Because that could be epic for Brooke to be like, man, I got this. You know, I'm the original man stealer. And for Katie to be like, bitch, please. For that to be epic battle between the two. Something. I just don't like this weak Katie. Hell. And then her heart give out.
Put my ring back on my finger. You know,
I got to give Brad Bell credit, though, because he's the only head writer that remembers that his character got a bum heart, because Maxie be ice skating on General Hospital. She
did check that though at the beginning of the story.
They did a drive by. You know, I love them, but no, you ain't gonna tell me that somebody with a bum borrowed heart can just have a baby and be a surrogate. It's like old days. You know, that baby I grew back, Samuel, baby I grew back, Philip Kiriakis' leg grew back. You know,
they just always had him in pants.
Look, Maul Brady brain grew back. Keep nobody with no malady on Days of Our Lives.
Well, speaking of Days of Our Lives, Jamie, earlier Jillian mentioned powerful women. What do you think of Kristen's plot to take on John and make him pay, and then conversely, John's plot to take on Kristen and make her pay? And
ooh, Lord, I'm glad you don't write no SAT questions, because this is a five.
Yeah, Luke.
No, what plot am I supposed to be plotting?
Little Jimmy's train left the station at 10 o'clock.
John and Kristen have dueling plots. And both of them involve getting into bed with each other, but they have different outcomes that they're hoping for. What are your thoughts?
I'm going to be honest and tell you I'm not really caring about either one of that right now. I mean, I'm definitely still, you know, Kristen is a delight, but that's not the story that's really hooking me on Days right now, so I don't want to waste too much time on it. What's hooking me is my Samantha Jean Brady taking on Stefano and taking on Nick, because Sammy stole that $30,000 that Nick has been keeping for Vargas. And he came over and was like, bitch, where my money? And Kate had given Sammy a gun. Sammy was, you know, I don't want this. And Kate was like, any woman who's married to a Tamara needs this gun.
Yes.
So Sammy is in there fingering that pistol like she finna put a plug in baby Horton. And EJ comes in there and chokes him off of her. And then EJ and Sammy promptly go home and make hot, nasty love.
Oh, I love it.
Hayes is doing me right. You know, the Kristen John stuff, I'm going to be honest. Eileen Davidson deserves better than having to fool around in scenes with Drake Hogan. I'm sorry. I like Drake. I like John. But that's like putting Meryl Streep with Pauly Shore. I just need her in a media storyline.
He's good enough for Marlena. And what do you think of the fact that it's basically splitting those two up?
I don't think that it's that part of it. Days is doing so much right. That's why, you know, I'm trying to balance the negativity and the positivity and talk about something I actually like. I don't like that. I don't think after everything John Black and Marlena Evans have been through that this would be what made him say, I'm done with you, Doc. I'm just done with you. Because you knew that Kristen was trying to sleep with our 40-year-old son. And you didn't tell me about it. I'm done with you. It, you know, he's acting like Brady was 12. The man 35. Who cares? I mean, and you're going to break up with Marlena, the woman you fought Satan himself to be with. You done fought Stefano to be with. You done got her out of bird cages. She done waited for you to get your neck off the guillotine. She done forgave you for having sex with Hope in a submarine on y'all honeymoon. And you can't tell me that you are not going to be able to get past Marlena not telling you that your 35-year-old son was sleeping with your ex-girlfriend. It's just, it's very contrived. I don't like that part of it.
Act like Kristen is Chester the molester and Brady is like some little boy. Hey, little boy.
I get them being angry, but they should be united and angry. John being mad at Marlena enough to end their marriage is ridiculous.
Or, you know what this should be? This should be a ploy for them to, like, for Kristen to be, you know, united in true Days fashion. Kristen outs herself to John, thinking no one's around, and it's going to be her word against Brady, since Brady is so mad at his family, and for them to record Kristen, and for them to, like, embarrass Kristen.
Well, they already tried. Marlena broke into her house. I mean, no, Marlena came over there with a tape recorder, and Kristen wrote on a piece of paper, I know what you're doing!
You know, no, I mean, like, for them to pretend like they're busted up, to show Brady, you know, this is what's happening.
Wayne Northrup back. This is the time. They've got John acting crazy. They've already had Roman comforting her, but that means nothing with Josh Kelly in the role. Josh Kelly, Lord forgive me. Wrong soap, Josh Taylor in the role.
Sing it, boys. General
Josh Kelly might just be what the doc needs now.
Roman took a de-aging pill. But no, on GH, Lynn Herring is going to be there indefinitely, according to Ron Carlovati and Lynn Herring. She's sticking around. So since she's going to have to be making that trek from the farm down to L.A., I think it's only right that her husband, Wayne Northrup, be able to carpool with her. And for him to have a reason to do that, he needs his job on Days of Our Lives. And instead of, you know, I get it, Josh Taylor, you know, that's Ken Corday's golfing buddy. That's his friend. I'm not going to lose that man a job. I'm going to tell you how we can do this. We can do it like GH is getting ready to do. We just saw Roger Holworth and all of them play their One Life to Live characters. And next month, they're going to be three all different people. This is what we can do. Because it's soap operas. We can get away with it. Who cares? Bring back Wayne Northrup as Roman. Write off Josh Kelly for a couple of weeks.
Josh Taylor!
It's too many Josh's. Josh's. Look, Joshua Borow, maybe it's Joshua Mara's booty. I blame that. Okay, but no. Josh Taylor can come back a month later as who? Chris Kosacek, and there you have it. You know, he can keep his job, you know, but bring back Wayne Northrup as the real Roman Brady so he can be there to support Marlena. And please, license Up Where We Belong. I know it might cost a little bit of money, but do it. And do the flashbacks to John and to Roman and Marlena's love story. Because if Roman was here, look at all the... Days needs to really be taking a page of what GH did. Because Days is the only other soap with that many iconic triangles and super couples that's still on the air. Because Y&R really has their whole majority of their old cast. But Days could take a page of what GH is doing or has done, especially for the last couple of months.
And
just do the
Jennifer, first of all.
Oh,
you know, do these
both of them need to go.
You know, do these drive-by reunions with the super couples and triangles. I mean, got Frisco, Felicia, and Mac in and out. You know, boom, bada, boom, bada, boom. Some people were happy, some weren't, but I think for the majority, it was a plus. It's like Days could be doing that, and I'd rather see that with Marlena. But I'm not really. The Kristen stuff, I need Kristen on a more global stage. Now that they've kicked off this story with EJ working with Justin, which Wally Kurth told me about at the fan event. My interviews will go up this week. But, you know, they're teaming up, and that's going to play for a while. With, you know, Justin is going to get a ton of storyline. Woohoo! So, you know, I would rather see Kristen get involved in that, the fight against her brother, you know, because she's going to be on her father's side. And, you know, but the John treating Marlena this way is just stupid to me. As silly as Danifer.
You have been setting up my transitions extremely well. You mentioned the Young and the Restless. Mel, what did you think of Jill versus Kane this last week in Catherine's hospital room? Because I was loving it.
I loved it. I felt like Jill said everything that we've been screaming about. She's like,
well,
I have been here longer than he has. I have stuck by you through all of this. I have all the experience in corporate business situations and management, and you're going to pick this guy over me? Oh, hell no. I was like, yes, ma'am, Jill. You said, and I love the way she did it. She did it in front of Catherine and everybody else in that room and Jesus. So, Jill, you better get on with your bad self. I am not mad at you because Jill is right. It should not go to Kane.
Kane told me to tell Jill, you abandoned Finball 5 minutes after you got it.
Well, I'm glad that because that was stupid. It's like Jill needs to go back where she needs to be, not fight.
I'm sorry. If I fight that hard to get half of a department store chain, I ain't finna quit soon as I get the phone.
Listen, she's casting her dividend checks now. She can focus on Chancellor.
She said Lauren got this on lock, but I'm glad that
Lauren's got Carmine on lock.
I'm just saying, but I'm glad that Jill did this because this is something that we have been crowing for from since Kane has come on. Since even when Maria took over, we've been crowing for when Billy came back. We're like, oh, Billy fitting to set it off and be like, this grifter ain't none of us. This is an Abbott company. Why is he running Jabot? This is an Abbott thing. I am
so
glad.
The thing about this storyline is, as much as I enjoyed what happened last week, I just am highly incredulous over the fact that Jill will win in the end, because for the simple fact that Jess Walton isn't on the show all the time. I mean, they can't just... I mean, it just puts a lot of stuff up in the air for me.
I feel like they can still do that because in the history of Y&R, Chancellor Industries never was a huge main focus point. So I feel like
obviously they're going to make it one, though, with this huge fight.
I've heard that if Jess got offered a meaty enough storyline, she'd consider doing more.
Well, thank goodness, because I would love to going into this story. I mean, as much as I love it, I just think to myself, Jill's contract isn't like permanent.
She's on recurring, but that doesn't mean anything. Yeah. Tracy Bregman has been on recurring.
Just gonna say that.
Just got a contract. The thing of it is, now because of what's going on in real life with Jeannie Cooper being sick and hopefully improving, but you know, there are some real life factors that might play into this storyline. And it, you know, I mean, because Jill is so tied to Catherine, that's why I would like to see her tied back with Jack and Billy, because they are her other connections to this show. The Jill and Jack affair was iconic. It was legendary.
The picture.
My dream Y&R story would be for Jill to tell Catherine, you know what, this boy that conned us and made us believe he was really ours, he can have Chancellor. I'm going back to Jabot. And, you know, I would love for Jill...
focus on that too.
Yeah, I would love for Jill to go back to work for Jabot. I'd love for Jabot to hit a financial crisis and for Jill to sell her half of Fenmore's to Newman Enterprises in order, you know, and Laura could call her all kind of funky bees for doing it. Have her sell her half of Fenmore's so that she could invest in Jabot, and Phyllis be furious that Jill is coming on board as her superior, and Jack being like, we need her cash flow, grin and bear it. And Kay warning, well, you know, I mean, it, depending on who, someone warning Phyllis to be careful of Jack and Jill's history. And then you have Jill back over there at Jabot. She and Jack always killed. Yeah, she and Jack always killed in the boardroom and the bedroom. And then you have Billy walk in on the, you know, I would have Phyllis act a fool.
Phyllis, Jill, Jack would be a fantastic
show. And then you have Phyllis, you know, Nick and, you cut to Nick and Avery's engagement party where, you know, Phyllis has been assuring Jack for months that she doesn't care about them being together. And then Phyllis gets drunk and just acts a crazy fool, you know, and give Michelle her next Emmy nomination because she wigs out at Nick and Avery's party to where Jack realizes she's still in love with him. He goes to the office. Jill is working late. The two of them make love for old time's sakes.
Up on the conference room table.
Billy and Victoria are headed home. He realizes he left
some papers.
And he goes in and he sees his mother and his brother on the conference table. And Billy never knew. Because in my memory, they never addressed. Billy doesn't know, I don't think. I look back in my history of all the Billys from David Tom up. I don't think he ever knew that his brother slept with his mother before he was born. That would definitely be some crazy story for him to find out about Jack and Jill's past and find out that it, you know, even if he did know that they hooked up, because they've hooked up since then, I bet he doesn't know that it gave his dad a heart attack, it ruined his parents' marriage the first time. I mean, there's so much organic story. It's like, what GH is doing. GH is going back to their stories, you know, whether they're over, they're over the top, but it's, they're mining their history. Piccolala, you know, Carly and AJ, they're mining their history. Y&R needs to do more of that. Y&R does not need to have Jason Quartermain on 4 days of the week trying to force this, you know, and I like both actors. And I like the, you know, I think that they have potential, but this is not their show. It's not the Dylan and Avery show. You cannot, I'm not one who's always saying you have to obey the Doug Marlin rules, but it's kind of like the Bible. You got to know the rules before you can break them. And you just cannot have.
I break them all the time.
And look crazy.
But no, you cannot have two relative newbies in a front burner triangle where the veteran is the side character. Preach. Nick is the side character. And that song is okay, but I want something more than this. It's not going to cut it. I want something more than this storyline. five-day-a-week couple. You just can't do this, Jill. You know better. You know this.
I don't think she knows better. She did the exact same thing on GH. This is not different for her.
But the difference is on GH, and I will give them this, and people don't want to admit it sometimes, the people that they put front and center on GH had the focus group and the fan bases to back it up. You know,
Dylan and Avery do not.
Exactly. You know, there's no denying that whoever Jason Morgan screwed on GH developed into a popular couple. Whether we liked them respectively or not, they were all popular in their own right. Jason and Sam, yep. Jason and Liz, yep. Jason and Courtney, unfortunately. Yep.
Jason, even though Jason and Brenda a little bit. Jillian.
So this is Y&R, and you can't have him on 5 days a week eating up story when Jack and Phyllis are side characters. When
well, it doesn't have give him enough time to spend at home in God's country either. Jillian, Jamie mentioned funky bees this last week. Lauren got more than her fair share of Carmine Stinger. What'd you think?
Good positive storyline, yeah.
You sound so prim and proper. Jamie mentioned funky bees today. Oh my god, I'm glad
that next music we did funky D's. Now we're gonna do funky bees. Never gonna we're gonna get it.
Shut up, you idiot. Oh my god. I am loving the fact that Lauren is touching and going back to her hoish roots. Because, you know, I remember, Mel, a few weeks ago, Luke was all, oh, I just don't like this. This isn't Lauren. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. This is the same heifer that made young Buck Brad Carlton have a heart attack when she put the whammy on him. And I don't mean a snap either. This is amazing. This will give them something to do instead of her wringing her hands. Michael, Gloria's at it again, or you stop hanging out with them Newmans.
You need a dress? I'll bring some over.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what I used to be the maddest. Why is Lauren having to come over with her coat rack and dress back for the prom?
You know, since she's the owner and since they're rich, you know, in rich people world, they do that, but still.
Listen, if the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills is any indication, that is not uncommon.
Donatella Versace told me to tell you the hell you say she come over somebody's house with a coat with a damn.
Not any average Joe, not you or me, but I bet you if Oprah wanted something, she'd fly that sucker in there herself.
It's Felipe!
No, but I digress. But you know, with this Carmine thing, it gives them more to do. It gives Michael more stuff to do than yelling at Victor. Victor, you can't cut them kids out, okay, honey child? I'm glad. it is what it is. I want Michael to tap back into his dark side, you know, for Carmine to keep picking and picking and picking and picking at Michael, and Michael snap, because I'm like, Carmine, you ain't know who wife you messing with. Mike, I'm like,
what I'd be worried about snapping is Finn.
No.
Yeah, Finn is on his way down crazy street.
Oh, yeah, between Summer and his parents, he's back on the road.
But
and
the ultimate...
He's so skinny, though. With Summer, he couldn't attack me. I punched Finn in his chest.
But Finn, you gotta worry about Finn, but Michael is the ultimate people creeper that you gotta worry about. So I'm like, I would love for Carmine to just keep picking at him and Michael brick his ass up somewhere.
I'm telling you what they need to do. Victor need to be having a conversation with Michael about cheating wives, and Victor chuckle and say, well, one way to handle that is how I handled my Julia.
Yes, I was
I captured her lover and fed him rats. And then it clicked in Michael's head, and then we see him revisit that. See, and you pay homage to history. Victor and Michael are boys. If he told him what he did to Julia Newman's lover, if y'all remember, Victor put that man in a dungeon and fed him rats. What if
and
Michael
was to that man that? Watch him bone Julia?
Yep.
It's like, you know, you got to go back. If you really, they got to go back and... Look, all of the other three soaps on Daytime need to pay attention to what GH did and why GH was up 600,000 year to date recently, and take a page from that. And yeah, Y&R is the number one show. We know that. But they are number one in total viewers and households and generally in 18 to 49, but other demos are definitely becoming more and more important. And trust me, that's a thing, even at CBS. It's not just like they're sitting and resting on their laurels because they're number one, because you can be canceled at number one. I'm not saying they're in danger of being canceled. Nobody's in danger of being canceled right now. But they can't rest on their laurels because they're number one. They've got to fix this. And it's Jill is, you know, a lot of the stuff that we were assured Jill wouldn't do, Jill Fransfeld,
she's slowly doing. Yeah, that's why I keep...
Not getting rid of our vets. Now, I'm happy about that because, you know, I thought usually they go hand in hand. A ton of new characters beat to the white meat. But, none of our vets are gone, but they're kind of pushed to the wayside. They're being pushed to the wayside. And you know, there's just too much of these.
Yeah,
these are newer characters. Exactly. On even the ones I like, it's just too much with them. It's like we got to get back to Jack and everybody being the center of the show, and the other characters complimenting them.
The Billy and Victoria storyline, it should just, you know, it shouldn't be a situation where Victoria is, oh my god, you know, I'm injecting these hormones and I'm crazy over Newman. It should be a situation where she's sitting at home watching Adam just slither his funky ass up next to Victor, and for her that just gnaw at her, and Adam say these little off the cuff marks, just gnawing at her, for her to snap and tell Billy, you know what, Billy, I'm tired of this at home bullshit. I'm going back to Newman to take my birthright back from this bastard. And for Billy to be like, you know what, I'm tired of this shit too. For them to both go back for their birthright, because that's what Billy, when Billy Miller came on, that's what he was all about. Then it was that tacky ass magazine, which has disappeared. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. I miss the magazine though. If everybody's gonna run a restaurant, how many restaurants? I don't really miss it either. But I'm just saying, I'd rather that. Why does every millionaire's child in this town have to open a dang dive bar or a restaurant? It's like, why does Billy? He won it in a card game. Billy as the gambler. Kenny Rogers told me to tell you, you got to know when you hold them and know when to fold them, the Young and the Restless. He should be at Jabot. Billy should be the next generation at Jabot.
Yes.
And just like all the Newman kids should be fighting at Newman. Nick should not be running Jimmy's.
Except for Nick. I mean, the coffee shop, you know, Nick was never was never all into that. I could see Nick going back into the coffee shop business. Like, Kevin's so broke for Nick to be like, you know what, Kevin, I'm going to help you out. I'm going to break you off of some dollars, pay off all your loans. I'm going to take this coffee shop back.
I'd rather that be Sharon, because I think Nick needs to be at Newman. Yeah, that's part of his history, but look at Dallas. It wouldn't be interesting if John Ross was like, I want to go run the Dallas Museum of the Arts, or if I want to go open a McDonald's franchise. It's hot because they're in the industry that Dallas was about. Oil. Nicholas Newman needs to put on his big boy panties and grow up. At any point in life, people realize that. It's like, you are your father's son, whether you want to be or not. You don't see Lachlan Murdoch running, you know, Oak Bar in New York. It's like, it's not even a good bar. It'd be one thing if it was some awesome set, some Tops from Another World. Y'all remember that Another World fan? Dive bar. It's that Jimmy's. It's just like a
Jimmy's. Just need to burn down.
Yeah.
It isn't the Young and Burger King. It's the Young and the Restless. It's a freaking cosmetic soap. Let's get them all back in the cosmetics game and have the Newmans and the Abbotts fighting it out for superiority. The moment that the freaking Abbotts went into fashion, Victor should have looked at Nikki and said, my darling, to make you feel better about life and your MS diagnosis, I have hired Felicia Forrester to be the creative director of Nikki Newman Originals. And then Adam at Newman be like, nope, can't use the Newman name. I filed an injunction. How dare you? And then Nikki is like, we can call it Nikki Reed. You know, it's just, there's so much. I mean, just get it back under the same umbrella. The years that it was Newman versus Jabot, it was tight. It's like, just make the show tight again. It's all over the place.
Mel, let's talk about General Hospital. Maxie versus Ellie. What'd you think? I know you're not a big fan of Ellie, but good scenes.
They were good scenes, but my thing is, Ellie wants to be too truthful. Like, she's like, oh no, you're pregnant with Spinelli's baby. I'm going to tell him right away. Let me call him right now. This is a soap opera. I kind of would like it to be a little more soapy. I mean, okay, you are pregnant with my man's baby. So what can I do to take this information and hold it over your head to make you do whatever I want you to do? I would rather go like that than Ellie to be like, okay, I'm going to tell Spinelli all the truth and we're going to have it all out right now and so on and so forth. I don't know. That's my problem with that story.
Ellie Spinelli, go sit down somewhere, Ellie Spinelli.
What do you think of Dante, Lulu, and Milo?
I am loving me some Milo and Lulu. Ib Ryland and Drew Cheatwood. His name is still Drew Cheatwood, right?
Oh,
they
shut
have
up.
really good chemistry. I'm glad that they're using him more as.
History, history.
Did I say history?
No, I said that's history.
Oh,
Because
no,
you
I
know
mean,
Milo.
you
Oh.
know, yeah, oh, yeah. He always had the crush on her, but I love the
Yeah.
fact that they're so cute together. And because Dante and Lulu drove me to drink by the end of Julie's run on the show. I was a big Lante fan in the beginning, but I'm gonna be honest, the moment their little nosy selves sent poor Michael to prison where he was butt raped, I was through
Yes.
with them. I was through with them. If I was Carly, I would whoop Lulu ass every time I saw her. I couldn't, you know, I'd just be minding my business. I see her, hey Lulu, and then it would hit me, you send my baby to jail. Bitch, I'm gonna beat your ass again.
Yep.
You
That's
know, so
Sunny
I
too.
had
Sunny
nothing
too.
for them. I ain't had nothing really for them since that point. And so this is like really re-energizing them for me. And you know, Dante gets on my nerves. I love the actor. I love Dominic Zampragna, but he started off with such gangbusters, and now he's just, you know, Dudley Do-Right, always running around pointing his finger. Although I did love him during the end of the Ice Princess storyline, where he got to be that old school, like he almost basically filled the role of Scorpio for Luke. You know, he was Luke's ace during this storyline. Watch, I get 5,000
No. 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 How could you say that,
Scorpio.
Jamie?
You know, I'm sorry. I'm not the one that asked him over there to come. Leave me alone. But yeah, I'm liking it. I love him. The letter brought to you today by Sesame Street.
And M&M's
I
chocolates.
love, no, just one M. You just told me one M. Now make up your mind. I'm gonna get confused in a minute. But no, I like that storyline. What I liked even better though was AJ
Well, we're going to get to that shortly. You're stealing my transition.
Well,
Jillian, what did you think of them? A lot of people on Twitter were going, these are the new AJ and Carly, or the new Alan and Monica.
I mean, with the history there, they potentially be, you know, they had to play that beat whenever they recast a Carly and my AJ's there. They always test that chemistry. Whenever they always recast it, AJ and Carly's there, they test that chemistry, and they need to do something with Laura Wright until Roger says, "Honey, I'm home." You know, they need to do something. They don't want to put her with Sean. They want to stick her over there with Ma Davis, so that's fine. It's like, whatever, Ron. You're beating a dead horse with that one, but whatevs. They have great chemistry, and I cannot wait. It's going to really rev up Liz versus Carly again. She gonna tell her, "Bitch, I had him first. You always sniffing around my leftovers." I cannot wait for Carly to just go ham on Liz.
I can't wait for Liz to go over there with a scalpel and a chisel and say, "Where's Jocelyn?" I was like, "What? Where's she at? You want to fuck AJ? I'm taking my baby's gizzards out of that little girl. Where's she at? Jocelyn, come out here!" And then
Jamie.
Liz need to chase her through that house. She need to bring her other kids over there with her. Aiden, Cameron, get her, find her. We finna take
Hold
her.
on. Hezekiah, Tommy, Makai, all them kids to Liz have.
I bring all of them over there and Audrey. And we would chase that little girl down and dig my baby's gizzards right out of her.
That would be
Jamie, but it's you also get the sense that Carly would drop a roof on AJ and vice versa.
Yes,
Oh, hell yeah.
they do have that Alan and Monica thing. And I'm enjoying Nicholas and Liz this time around. You know, I didn't enjoy it the first time around, but without Cry Baby Cry Me a River, Lucky, snotting all over the place. Why is everybody betraying me? Because you are a grown man who cries. If that does not mean cheated on, I do not know what does. So I'm happy without him there, you know, with the waterworks. They're sexy, you know, they're sexy. Tyler looks a little rested. I guess Chuck Pratt's The Lion Game been good to him. You know, his body's all nice and, you know, sinewy and stuff. And, you know, I'm kind of okay with it. It seems like it could be a really good quadrangle.
Mel, as we wrap things up, I want to ask you about one more topic, which has been driving me insane recently. That is Sabrina and Patrick. I about threw chuck something at my television when they had the scenes with her and the little wings and the tiara, and then he's going down and kissing her. It was just like, someone free Patrick from this purgatory. And it was like, I wanted to start a Twitter hashtag like Patrick's Purgatory, because it's gotten to the point where Sabrina as a character prior to the Nurse's Ball did not like her. Because of the Nurse's Ball and what she did to help bring it back, I was beginning to warm up to her. I liked her transition into this from like Ugly Betty into a beautiful swan. But I really can't handle the Disney princess crap. What are your thoughts on Patrick and Sabrina?
What a question.
At the end. Normally it's in that jumble. Okay, never mind. sorry, Luke. It is your birthday. That was mean.
Yeah.
Okay. Patrick and Sabrina. I liked them in the beginning, you know, when she was Ugly Betty and crush on him. And I thought, oh, that was really cute. But, you know, now she's this beautiful swan and she's got her man. And I'm kind of like, I kind of wish they would have, like, more heat between them, because I felt like they had more heat when she was Ugly Betty, if that makes sense. I don't know. But I just...
Patrick likes those dirty girls.
Yeah.
I was going to say about Robin.
Well, she humped him in a broom closet.
She did.
Say about that?
We need Robin to look. Robin needs to somehow karate chop her ass back to poor Charles and bust that shit up. Let's just call a spade here. You know, Miss McCullough told Reagan when Reagan was at the panty center, she wouldn't mind coming back. Come on, Frank. Stop bullshitting around and bring that chick back. Come on, son. They need to bust that dollhouse wide open, because I'm tired of Sabrina and Teenage Witch and Patrick. Cut it out. Cut that shit out now. Yes, I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like
it. It's terrible.
I don't.
And the thing about it is, and I realize that it's not the case, but when I see her dressing up as this little Disney princess, and then Patrick leans over to, like, quote-unquote, begin to make love to her on the couch, which is, like, was Sonny and Emily's favorite thing, I just think that it's, like, he's robbing the cradle when he really isn't, but it just looks wrong. And not only that, but then it makes me realize that I'm thinking that Jason Thompson's way older than he is, and it's like, you're completely screwing the whole Patrick thing.
She's an adult. If there's grass on the...
I know she's adult. I stated that beginning. I'm just saying, when I'm watching it, I get this sense that he's like macking on her, and he's too old for her, and it's just a little creepy.
No,
and
he is not. Patrick, get that out your mind.
You like to see, like, Patrick has a big old van at the park. Come in, little girl. Come on in here, little girl.
He's got a trench coat on, and he's flashing it and just shaking it. Hey, girl, get out of here, man. Look, I understand that, you know, Scrub fans have been really hard with Jason Thompson with this. Y'all, yes, I'm a Scrubs fan, too. I know we want our girl back, but y'all can't get mad at the man for them doing something different, because Kimberly wanted to leave. However, now that she wants to
come back. She wants to come back, but what does that mean? She is still in this directing program.
Yeah.
Obviously, if she came back, they would need her on contract. They couldn't do her on recurring and do drive. I mean, they would need a contract to do it. So, I mean, I'm just, you know, cutting for Frank. And, yeah, she said she wants to come back. But what does that truly mean? You know, does it mean you want to sign a 3-year contract so we can play the epic return of Robin from the Dead? Because you can't do that in 2 episodes. You know, that has to be done long term.
I still, you know, people are going to get mad, but I'm going to still blame Garen Wolf. If you hadn't done that bullshit running around with HIV needles, I'm pretty sure y'all could have done.
She probably was ready to go for a while, but that probably was the moment where she was like, you know, I'm good.
But I'm saying, like, you know, they could have ushered Robin out a different way, because if you read the Daily Beast where she gave that interview, she pretty much was like, I don't even want to be tempted by coming back, whatever. And when Ron and Frank came there, Ron was like, we're going to fix it. So just in case you change your mind, boo, you know, if they were going to usher her off, it should have been something where Patrick and Robin, you know, they tap Jason Thompson off for a while. He come back. you know that bitch Robin, and they bust up or something, and then go on something like that and test him out with someone else. But this Sabrina thing, I'm sorry, I don't like it. I like the triangle.
General, I just want it written smarter. I don't like that. I mean, I love their kiss at the nurse's ball. I like them being a couple. I don't like Patrick being turned into a John Black or an Austin Reed from Days of Our Lives. And what I mean by that is the cuckold idiot who is going to spend the next 6 months not realizing that Britt is scheming. I mean, he found out pretty early that she was a schemer. And I don't need for 6 months of him walking in only hearing Sabrina scream. I mean, they used to do that on The Bold and Beautiful all the time, too. You know, Stephanie and Brooke would get into it, and Brooke would have said some hateful stuff to Stephanie, and Eric wouldn't hear that part. He'd just come in for Stephanie's part and be like, Stephanie! You shut your face talking about Brooke! And I believe that they're going to start that with this week with Patrick. It's like, he's seeing Sabrina yelling at that girl, and he's like, stop that, Sabrina! So I'm like, okay, that's going to be 6 months of him looking like a
dumb slut. And to me, it's almost as if the Maxie Ellie pregnancy versus the Patrick Sabrina pregnancy should be reversed.
It's
like,
too much
Patrick should be the one who finds out right away and like should have someone spill the beans right away. And Maxie and the Ellie one should be the one that's drug out. And I think
I think there's something wrong with Patrick and Sabrina. Baby stories are tied. I mean, yeah. I feel like that ain't nothing. I mean, this is not a spoiler. This is just me as a fan watching the show.
The bumps are about the same size.
Yeah,
now.
I bet you Britt is pregnant with Dante and Lulu. That's one of her. They Huey, Louie, and Dewey. Duck eggs from DuckTales in there, gestating in her awful devilish womb, and you know.
Here's my only thought on that little thing. It's like we just got done with really good, fantastic baby switch with Taya and Sam, which was granted cut short because of stuff that happened, but it was a good story. It just seems like if they decide to go down that path again, it's a little bit too soon.
I just want Ron to rein it in. He got too much going on. Two baby storylines. Then you got the Falconeries going crazy. You got one who thinks she a sidekick. You got the other one who don't know where she is or who she is
but
today.
But Livia has not had a psychic vision.
Well, stop! I'm glad.
No, but when she's not having them, she thinks she's having them.
Are y'all watching the show right now? She
last week or the week before, she had said, "Am I having a psychic dream?" And they go, "No, you're not."
This whole past week or two, she has been slowly but surely making her way back into sunny.
Yeah, but you know how Ron do. Ron lulls us into a false sense of security just when we think that shit is over. Surprise!
Happening right now. They're not playing. What I'm saying is, if we go complain about something, what happened this past week was they didn't do. Olivia was with Sonny and with Johnny saying goodbye to Johnny Zakara on the show this past week. She was not doing the psychic stuff. Johnny called her over there to warn her about Morgan, and then he called her to the carpet because he's like, "What's up with you and Sonny?" And she's like, "Well, get out of here. Nothing's up with me and Sonny." And he's like, "I know you, Olivia. I know you well." I thought that was a nice little nod to their history.
Well, you know, if they're going to do the Sonny Olivia thing, please do it. And have Connie Kate and her age.
Concerned, you know, because she knows she wants some of that marinara sauce again. Once you go Sonny, you can't be funny. So.
Oh, yeah. Really? Okay.
Well, that's what happened to Emily. Comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Add us as a friend on Facebook. Like us. And on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter. Twitter.com/DCConfidential. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
He just left a funky aftertaste on that podcast.